Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who is rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are the divinely inspired retelling of God's divine universe-altering action through the person of Jesus Christ that is ultimately revealed in his dying, resurrection, and ascension. At least that's my thesis here, right? Yet, despite having all of this main character energy, we don't get a lot of straightforward sermons from Jesus in the same way that we do here. And when he does speak, he is often speaking in parables, but not here. Now, here he seems to want to make sure that he is abundantly clear, right? Blessed are the poor. Now, most of you have probably heard these words or heard similar words, right, from Jesus. They are some of the most famous words of Jesus's. There are songs upon songs that have been written about these words, this sermon on the plain of Jesus's. Similar words are said on the mount when Jesus gives that sermon. And it's almost as if this is one of those things that is central to Jesus' teaching and ought to be central to Christianity. So then, why the hell are we all, still not getting it, right? 2,000 plus years later, I should be able to, as a preacher, be able to stand up here and allow this sermon, these words of Jesus, speak for themselves and for you to be able to look out in our society and be able to point out where this is happening on a day-to-day basis, right? But we aren't there. And maybe that just serves as a sign of just how desperately we are in need of Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis, again and again and again. Amen. Amen. So let's do this. I'll speak anyway. Now, you've heard me say it before, and if you've heard Pastor Wesley preach up here, you've heard them say it too, that poor, often, but not always, when it shows up in Scripture, is one of those things that we kind of mistranslate in context. It does, of course, mean those who are financially poor. One second. That's better. It does, of course, mean those who are financially poor, as we think today when we hear the word poor. But we also have to think that the wealth disparity wasn't quite like it is now. Of course, there were those who were in power and those with money, but not quite in the same way that it is now. So to speak of poor in Jesus' context didn't always just mean poor of purse, but it often meant more of a general poor, as he is speaking of it, poor of spirit, poor of health, and poor financially, of course. It goes deeper than just the wallet. And Jesus looks at all of these that are poor in all of these ways and still says, "You are blessed." I know it doesn't feel like it now, but you are, for you will receive much more than what you have. And we know the promises of Christ are true, right? For we know the power of God that has been done within him. And this word blessed, I was told earlier this week that in this context, it can be translated in another way that I think just makes so much sense. With the Greek, it can be translated as well as recognize or as honor. Now, what that means, right, is that it is a lifting up to a place of honor, as Jesus is saying this. That is our Psalm 23, right? To set a place of honor before your enemies at the table, right? That is to say, my beloved child, when you are crying out in pain, I see you. Jesus Christ sees all who are crying out from the fringes of society, crying out in pain, and urges us to then do the same. But I'll get back to that in a second. I want to talk a little bit more about the last blessed that shows up in verses 22 and 23, okay? Because I've heard this one thrown around a lot in unhelpful ways and dangerous ways even. Now, I've heard people, nobody here, and I literally thank God for that, but others who have used this out of context in a ways of dismissing criticism. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you. And some people stop there, as they tend to do, but sometimes they do even include, on account of the Son of Man. But regardless, there are some who are in power, or I've heard it from those who are in certain evangelical wings of the church, use this verse or other verses like this to say that the only reason that people have an issue with their false brand of self-righteous Christianity that they preach is because they are doing it on account of the Son of Man. And then they will point to this verse as their proof while ignoring everything else around it. And I mean, just look at those who are screaming right now on top of their hills that there is an anti-Christian conspiracy going on in this country. And folks, there is no nationwide anti-Christian conspiracy going on, and the fear-mongering is not going to bring us together as a people. The only churches that I've heard that have been actually attacked on a nationwide scale, or that have had threats of attacks on a nationwide scale in the last few weeks, are the Episcopal churches after Bishop Beauty's sermon, Begging Mercy, and ELCA churches like ours after the claim that the Lutheran Social Services is laundering money because of their immigration services, including people going in and smashing their baptismal fonts. We must learn to be humble and to be able to accept criticism and not tear each other apart, and definitely not use scripture to defend ourselves in that way. We cannot just brush it off or find excuses around it, especially those who find themselves in leadership. And I will confess, this is somewhere where I continue to grow as well. I've been made recently aware that I do respond harshly or negatively towards criticism. This is something that I wasn't aware of that I was doing until it was pointed out to me. So I do want to apologize to those that I have reacted to in this way. It is something that I am working on. And I think it goes to prove that even your pastor is not above the words that are spoken on a given Sunday. Hence why I too speak the words of confession with you all on a Sunday. And for all of those that thought that I was absolutely perfect, I'm sorry to break that illusion for you. So what is this blessed then that we find in verse 22 and 23? It is for those who genuinely act out of the love of Jesus Christ, but then find themselves getting put down time and time again. A few weeks ago, I spoke to a list of martyrs that lost their lives speaking the love of God in the face of those who tried to use scripture to destroy the lives of others. Those are the blessed ones. Those who stand firm in the gospel, speaking to the love, grace, mercy, and justice that God says is to come in Jesus Christ, that has come already through his death and resurrection. And that's where we're being pointed at in the second part of the gospel today. Because we have all these blessings at the beginning part, right? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are. And wouldn't it be so great if Jesus just left us with that? But he doesn't. Because that darn Jesus has to go and teach us something more and say, woe to you. Now imagine, right? Imagine you're in this crowd. You're one of the rich people in this crowd, right? And Jesus looks at the poor and tenderly says, blessed are you. And you think to yourself, well, that's kind of crummy. Aren't I part of the blessed too? But then he goes even further and looks right at you and says, not only are you not blessed, but woe to you. Right? Now, of course, there's another way to translate this woe as well. Woe as take heed or caution. Because all that you are holding on to dearly, all those riches, that fame, your health, even your joy in this time will eventually fade away. It's temporary, and it cannot last forever. But woe to you who choose to focus solely on that, who cling to that and place that before everything else, who choose to make that your God before God, God's self. Right? Who choose to place your faith in all of the worldly things instead of planting your tree by the stream of God. And we get another promise from Jesus. And this isn't an empty warning, but it is a promise that these things will fade away. Those who have their fill, you will be hungry again. You will mourn and weep again. You will be poor again. And this is where you will find that you will be in need of help. Now, this is in line with the Jewish understanding that's already in place at the time. That said, if you had more than what you needed, then what was expected of you is that you would give to those in need. Otherwise, it was actually considered stealing from those that you did not help. If you had more than you need and you didn't give to those who were in need, you were stealing from them. Woe to you who does not care for those in need when you have plenty, is what Jesus is saying. Not only does Jesus recognize the poor among us, but he urges us, demands us, that those who have the means to do so recognize those who are crying out in pain as well. For when you cry out in pain, Jesus hears you. And when you fall back out of luck, Jesus hears you. And when your spirits are broken once again by the heaviness of this life, Jesus is there. In your weeping, Jesus hears you and sends to you a community surrounded in the grace of God to lift you back up. A community that we know is far from perfect and still learning to be together, but is a blessed one nonetheless. So blessed are you, you imperfect people of God, for you have been made whole in the one that embraces the imperfect. Blessed are you, you children of God, for you have been claimed in the waters of baptism, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.